on. It's the Maine News Morning on the LOB Lobster Network.
It is 8:53. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. We're broadcasting live from the RowAutoGroup.com studio. Don't forget, our McVetty's Hearth and Home text line is 207-409-6172. You can find out more at StovesOfMaine.com. Pete McVetty is going to join us tomorrow. As you know, he owns StovesOfMaine.com, but he was also a fighter pilot in the Navy. And he worked at the Pentagon as they begin to take a look at the Department of Defense and try to uncover, number one, just start with, why can't they pass a financial audit? 7 years in a row, the Pentagon has not passed a financial audit. Their excuses are is that our systems are antiquated and that our procurement system is based on a 1970s model. So Pete will be able to be here and give some firsthand accounts of how that organization is operated. Clearly, he's not going to be able to say anything that was classified, but he can at least talk about structure, and structure is a good deal of the problem. Also, this weekend, is it called Flavors of Freeport, Dee Dee? Is that the name of it?
I think so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your mic's not on. Flavors of Freeport?
I think so. I'll check it out.
It's coming up this weekend up in Freeport, and that's always a really fun time. They have an ice bar on Saturday night. Motor Booty Affair is playing. If you know Motor Booty Affair, you know how great those guys are. And I also want to say to the audience, I'm very grateful for your comments about Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson. These guys have been tremendous additions to the station, and they're going to begin in March to be semi-regular guests here on the morning show, so you can get to know them a little better. But we are grateful for all the support you've shown. We've actually had people inquiring about advertising in our afternoon drive, something we had never had before. Since Guy Benson has taken over that role. So we're really grateful to you guys for all of that support. Dope Sack.
Sorry, I thought you had me on there.
No, it's okay.
What's great about the lineup is it's a lighter vibe. It's a cooler vibe. You just want to hang out with those guys more than most others.
Yeah, and I mean, I've known Guy Benson for a long time, and I've known Fela for a long time. Kilmeade. Most of my relationship with Brian had been the last 8 years of him seeking to get on here because he can't say he's a national show if he doesn't have coverage in Maine. And we did put him on Saturdays at one point. But Brian and I have gotten to know each other over time, just talking about this, that, and the other. But Jimmy Failla is one of the funniest people out there.
Hysterical.
He takes the news and he adds a comedic flavor to it. And it just... You know, a couple of people said to me in the very beginning, I'm not sure about him, but the more they watched him and listened to him, the more they realized he was using humor to make fun of the situation.
And he's very smart.
He's very smart.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's street smart. He's not just intellectual.
Yep.
He's also street smart from having been a cab driver for a good part of his early life.
I saw yesterday numbers that in, I think, February of 21, so 4 years ago, the electorate was identifying... plus six Democrat. And now the electorate identifies plus two Republican.
Which is interesting.
An 8-point shift.
Yeah.
Which is just doesn't sound like a lot, but it's actually tectonic.
Oh, it is. Of course. In politics, that kind of a shift, that's amazing.
And that's
in 4 years.
In 4 years. And then you combine that with the enthusiasm gap, which... is a bigger gap than it's been in a long time in the Republican favor. So we just have a dynamic here that's very new. And in a few places like Maine, you're going to have the local politics, the folks in control are going to try to just act like that didn't happen. Like it's just, you know, 4 months ago or something.
Well, let's not forget, this is a really important reminder of history here. In 1972, Richard Nixon had arguably the greatest landslide in American history. And then within 2 years, he was out of office. And the Republican Party, everybody said it was dead, completely dead. And then 6 years later, Ronald Reagan came along. My only point here is I'm not counting the Democrats out because history says not to. If they find a new standard bearer, and I believe the person they're going to look to
who
is Josh Shapiro. I do. He's smart. He's articulate. He knows how to win. I'm not sure Trump would have won Pennsylvania. I don't want to take anything away from Scott Pressler. But if she had chosen Josh Shapiro instead of Tim Walz, it might have been different. Might have been. I'm not saying it would have been different, but it might have been different. I do think Butler, Pennsylvania, on July 13th also was a big
I just think we live in a world now where if he were that star, we would actually know it already. He's a governor of a big state. He's got a Twitter account. Like I've heard him interviewed. I think it's hype. I don't think he's that anything. It's just kind of vanilla.
Like Walz was hype. You know?
Right.
Like,
Walz was something.
Walz was a totally different. I mean, you could tell that he was.
Yeah.
But what's so, I mean, what has Shapiro done in Pennsylvania? What's his, he's no like, is he the analog to DeSantis? But DeSantis had like a whole
No. DeSantis, I think DeSantis down in Florida has a really strong record. He ended up not being a great national candidate, but he had a really strong. We have a lot of people who are very effective. We have people in the state of Maine who I believe would be tremendous governors on either side, actually, because they're not on the fringe of everything, but they can't win because they don't have a campaign. And we've seen that with some really brilliant people on both sides of the aisle who just don't know how to win.
Yeah, I just think I think Shapiro doesn't have it. And it was in the Biden era when someone could actually just speak without that they sounded amazing.
Who are they going to turn to?
I think that's a great question. Yeah. I don't think they have anyone. I think the reason they don't have anyone is that anyone that would be trustworthy, inspiring, that the people would look up to would never sign up to the pile of crap that they're trying to sell.
That may be true, but I just want to caution everybody. I'm euphoric about this as well. I mean, I'm a huge Trump supporter of his ideas and what they're trying to do in D.C. But I do believe that we need to remain humble here because, again, we got Jimmy Carter in 76 because of what happened. You keep in mind, we went from arguably the greatest landslide, and I say arguably only because FDR, maybe his margin was a little closer, but there were fewer states at the time. But arguably the greatest landslide in American history in 1972 for a president, and then we had a Democratic president 4 years later. Now, there was a lot that happened there. Don't misunderstand me, but I'm just saying that we really need to just keep our head down and keep working, and remain humble. And I will say this, the people that I know in my life, throughout my life, that have done that, that don't show a lot of hubris, but just keep working and keep their eyes focused on the goal line. We can't take calls. We're having technical issues. Those are the people that have been sustainably successful.
Yeah, I of course agree. Hubris is a big problem, and whenever it manifests, I'm just underscoring somewhat accurate analysis of just what's going on objectively. And it just so happens the Democrat Party, again, they've abandoned working class issues. They've abandoned civil liberties.
And they do have a big problem. 49% of union workers in the country voted Republican. That's a big deal. How do they claw that back? I don't know the answer. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying I have the answer.
So in terms of
I'm
the hubris.
I'm just saying that we've got to, and we're going to have to go to break here. We have got to remain humble and just work, 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 work. Nothing takes the place of work.
Well, you know, good candidates maybe do take the place of, you know, work that's not directed. I think we have some my point is we have some time because the dynamics as they're unfolding, as Trump racks up success after success after success, juxtaposed against shrill Democrats freaking out about basically an audit. We just have a great dynamic. The public opinion is shifting as they see the successes, which Trump said that's what would happen. We would unify around the success. So, again, I really think this transgender issue, you know, percolating in Maine.
It is a big issue. There's no question about that.
But
I just want to go back. We got to go to break, but I'm going to go back to this.
Yep.
I think it was 1970. I'm not positive. The movie Patton came out, and it won Academy Awards, and George C. Scott won, and what have you. And it was an important thing, so important, because there were many World War II generation left, you know, they were still alive at the time. They were still young and vibrant. And one of the men that worked for my father had actually served under Patton. My mother and father took my brother Jim and I to Orlando, Florida to watch it in a very big theater because it had all the dynamics. We dressed in coat and tie to go to this movie. That was how important my father felt this movie was for us to watch. And at the very end of the movie, Patton talks about that the great Roman emperors who would ride around in the beautiful chariots always had a slave riding with them, whispering in their ear, "All glory is fleeting."
WLOB Portland, WLOBradio.com, and 100.5 WLOB.
Border crossings has been falling, with the fewest last month since January 2021, when President Trump left office in his first term. February is on pace for the lowest number of migrants stopped in 25 years. National Border Patrol Council President